Blog Talk Radio.
All right, man, let's go.
Since 25 years since the murder of notorious B.I.G. in a drive-by shooting on an L.
Peace, everybody. Hey. All right. Little mama home. See, what's up, mama? Say hi. Say hi. Look. Say hi. She got the mean mug right now. Yeah, she getting big, son. Say hi. She walked my ass out today. Word is ball. Woo, Lord. I'm tired. But, well, like 100 said that Jimmy is responsible when Suge got shot at. Okay. I really don't listen to that dude, Hawk Strong. Salute, King. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Hold on. Like, I really don't like listening to Wack 100. I really don't fuck with that dude like that. He's a real pain in the ass. But basically, it's a clip. It's on Instagram. And it's pretty much the same info that we already knew, you know? And I'm going to play. Let me hook this up before I even play it. My bad. I forgot to cue it up. All right? And she was a trooper. She was sitting here for damn near 40 minutes trying to be computer acting all effed up and shit. She was quiet the whole time, so she macking right now. Let me set this video up for you real quick before I actually play the clip real quick. Shout out to my homie.
This is Monday.com.
The Art of Dialogue. Okay. All right, so let me pause that. Let me share my screen. Please make sure y'all hit the like button if you haven't. Please. Don't be short tonight. It's the weekend. Yeah, you already know, X-Con. Here's the clip. Let me see if y'all can see. All right. Here we go. Check it out.
Been 25 years since the murder of notorious B.I.G. in a drive-by shooting on an L.A. street rocked the music industry to its core. A quarter of a century later, the slaying remains officially unsolved, a case steeped in conspiracy theories and alleged cover-ups.
But as KTLA's Mary Beth McDade found out, some say the case has been solved.
Thank you, Lab Gags Gossip. Thank you, love. And thank you, everybody, as well.
Notorious B.I.G., otherwise known as Biggie Smalls, whose real name is Christopher Wallace.
Oh, no doubt, Larell.
Top of the charts when he was gunned down while leaving a Soul Train after party March 9th, 1997, around 12:30 a.m. A car pulled up alongside his green SUV, and the driver opened fire, killing the 24-year-old rapper. It's now 25 years later, and still the case remains unsolved. Or does it?
The murder of Biggie, it's not unsolved. It's solved. And the LAPD even states in their own internal affairs documents that are under seal who was involved and who helped orchestrate and commit that murder.
Retired FBI agent Bill Carson, who had worked the Biggie case, shared with us those documents. He says Suge Knight used rogue LAPD cops and one of their friends to kill Biggie in retaliation for the murder of Night Star rapper Tupac Shakur, who was killed in a shooting in Vegas 6 months prior. Carson says Knight had a group of LAPD officers on the payroll, providing security for him and his death row records and their gangster activities. Carson says the two main officers involved in Biggie's killing were Rafael Perez and David Mack, both connected to the Rampart scandal. And Mack made more headlines when he robbed a bank a few months after Biggie's death.
The LAPD, some police officers helped orchestrate it, and ultimately it was Amir Mohammed who was the trigger man.
Mohammed was a longtime friend of Mack. Carson says there's evidence that all three, Perez, Mack, and Mohammed, were at the Peterson Automotive Museum the night of the deadly shooting.
Clickbait.
But as the lead LAPD investigators on the original case started getting closer to proving that corrupt LAPD officers were involved in Biggie's killing, they were shut down. Carson says it was a very turbulent time for the LAPD and believes the department was trying to salvage its reputation rather than seeking justice for Biggie.
They had already had a major black eye from the Rampart scandal. They had a major black eye from the whole Rodney King issues, and they couldn't afford to take another hit.
Carson says when the FBI launched their own investigation in 2002, with him at the helm, nothing had been done with the case in years. He says his investigation led him down the same path towards Shug and the rogue officers as the culprit. But after the Wallace family filed a $400 million civil case against the city of L.A. and the LAPD stepped forward and put a kibosh on his investigation and the court case for moving forward by saying their case was still open and so all documents needed to be sealed.
The reason that they were trying to derail my case was they'd already been hit for $100 million the cost from the Rampart case, and a civil suit had been filed on behalf of the Wallace estate for $400 million, and they could not take that financial hit. It would have absolutely destroyed the LAPD and the city of Los Angeles.
Shug Knight is currently serving time for a 2015 hit-and-run killing. Amir Mohammed, who also goes by Harry Billups, is reportedly working in real estate in Georgia. As Rafael Perez, he reportedly changed his name to Ray Lopez and is involved in the limo business. And David Mack was released from prison after serving time for the bank robbery. Now, we weren't able to reach any for comment tonight. Now, as for the LAPD, they say the case is still open and robbery and homicide detectives will not be commenting.
See, now, it's already solved, everybody. Just because it's not, you know, the LAPD came out and said that it is solved, that doesn't mean it's not solved. It's solved. We know that it's solved. It's just that they don't want to get hit with that motherfucking lawsuit because it will cripple the goddamn police department. You understand what I'm saying? And plus, they will look back because they already know to be corrupt. They already know to be a real gang. Niggas with tattoos, they got their own sets, their own cliques, they got their little tattoo game, and they killing motherfuckers, like on some G shit. So at the end of the day, these are the names that have been thrown out all the way at the beginning. While we are expecting new names to fucking pop up to be like, okay, this is solved. It's been solved. It's just that LAPD are the ones who is fighting, and they had their little boy, Greg, whatever the hell his name is, talking about that Mack and Ahmed Mohammed and what's the name Perez, Ralphie Perez or whatever, wasn't hired by Death Row, which is absolutely true. That's why I told y'all remember December, y'all remember I played that documentary and I took it down. It's called Last Man Standing documentary. It really goes in depth on how Mack, I forgot the first name, Officer Mack, and Rafael Perez were actually blood members, especially Mack. You understand what I'm saying? Like, them niggas is real bloods, nigga. And the dudes that was actually there to speak, like the homies that got locked up that had jobs working for Death Row, niggas was actually interviewed. They was like, yeah, nigga, I seen D-Mac all the time there. Oh, the Muslim dude, I see him there once in a while. He's always quiet. The Rafael Perez, yeah, them niggas, you know, they police. But you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. We know this shit is soft. But see, when, yeah, Greg Caden, sorry, baby. He's a straight fucking patsy boy. They just put him out. I don't believe nothing he say. Nothing. They needed him to go out there to try to, you know, cause a distraction. That case is solved, y'all. Yes, thank you. That case is solved. I don't know why niggas ain't thinking this shit is solved. This shit is solved. But the thing is, Ms. Wallace is not going to get that money. I was actually listening to, I'm going to play some videos. That just give me a moment. I was actually listening to Gene Dale as I was asleep. Love you too, Tiffany. Thank you, sweetie. If y'all would like to show some love, please show some love to the platform. If you would, you know, like to, please make sure y'all hit that like button, please, for the Alvies. But I don't know why I listen to, well, I do know why, but usually when I rest, I listen to Malcolm X. Damn, that's bars. But I'm like, yo, let me listen to Gene Dill. Like, I listened to the whole Last Big Night, part one, two, three, and the biblical one. Like, Gene Dill always kept his story intact. I don't have your email, Tiff. I don't have the email. I put the email in there. All right? Gene Dill never changed his story. And since it's on his channel, we could go through that because 2 days ago was the 25th anniversary of Biggie's death. Thank you. If that was you, Laugh Gags, thank you. Absolutely, everything is for the baby. But I be telling y'all, that all this shit don't be personal. Nigga, this shit, come on, man. Y'all niggas think I'm just be frivolously playing with money. Nah, man. Like, no. But anyway, let's continue. Let me put the number in if y'all would like to call, too. All right, let me put that number in. I'm going to play some of Gene Dill's because it's on his channel, on his YouTube channel. We gonna go through some of that, and it's really fucked up that at the end of the day they are not. Nobody's going to jail for it. This nigga is locked up right now. Suge, he's not walking out. We'll donate other ways. Okay. Call in. What was I just saying? And he's locked up. How the fuck, you know what I'm saying? I think he still got some kind of power because he had niggas, he was powerful at one point. So when you have officers that's connected to a powerful police force such as the LAPD that has a bad reputation that they need to keep. What was his name? I should find this shit. The police commissioner, his daughter was fucking around with a blood. The dude that told the press that none of his officers were even connected with Death Row. The police commissioner, the black guy, his own daughter was fucking with a blood. Like, y'all niggas stop playing. What's the email? It's patarassar@gmail.com. It's right here. It's highlighted. Oh, yeah, and I got the tutus. Shout out to KK. Let me show her some love. Please show some love to the platform, man. I mean, to our website. If y'all like the tutus, it's downstairs. It's very nice. I got this shit. I could show y'all. He had 300 million going to prison. See, that's what I'm saying, man. Everybody knew. What I hate. Puff, man. Puff, no. Let me go to these fucking videos. All right, I'm gonna put this one on hold on Ron G. Shout out to the legendary Ron G. Let me go to Gene Dill real quick, and then we're going to get to the Pop. All this shit is relative, but effort. We're going to do something. Word up, man. Divine Intervention, those are dudes, and you. No, not this one. Which one I was listening to? Shout out to Gene Dill, though. We're going to go to, was it this one? because I was resting as I was listening to her. Fuck it. I'll go to the biblical. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in as well. All right? And she just chilling. Hey, Mama Duke. What's up? Why are you all serious? That's that Virgo and Capricorn. Say what's up. She done ate. She done had something to drink. But she might have to change it in a minute. Let's play some Gene Dillman. Shout out to Gene Dillman. Much love and respect to the job.
First and foremost, let's state we should never have been in California 6 months after Pac died. When Wolf, Anthony Wolf Jones, heard this was happening, he himself
thank you, James.
Called Puff. Sean Puffy Combs.
I see you, Rakim. Peace, God.
A.K.A. Brother Love, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, she's chilling beautiful.
I'm not going to California unless we go out there right.
Are you ready
and
to go?
We have enough security. Enough security would have been him.
You ready?
With two tour bus loads of guys.
I'm ready to go now.
That he wanted to bring out there to make sure that everybody get home safe. At least the stars, the entertainers. Now, I don't know a place that we ever went to. If Wolf said we're going to leave or not be there or not go. But for some particular reason,
YouTube hip.
Puff had to be in California.
It's only right.
And nobody could have stopped him. So when I got the itinerary, like I said before, I called Kirk Barrows. I told Kirk Burrows, I had spoke to Wolf also. Wolf told me he wasn't going. Kirk Burrows assured me that we were just doing studio, Soul Train, video, and that was it. We wasn't hanging out to no parties, no clubs. And I said that in Royal Deal 1, 2, and 3. So some things happened out there that you may not be aware of. You know what I'm saying? That I didn't get in depth to, but I made peace to the young. And the reason why I call this the biblical portrayal of Biggie, because when you look into it, it was almost Christ-like. I know you're saying, yo, Gene, he lost your mind, you've gone crazy. But at the end of this, you look back at it and see what I'm talking about. We were shooting Hypnotized, and that's the day I spent with Big. And that's the only day I ever spent with Big alone. And somebody probably say, yo, how we know you spent that day with Big, or how we know what you're saying ain't true is a lie? Because I repeated the conversation he had with his mother. Everything that was said that to his mother, he was on his mother phone for hours about their house, you know, that he was getting built for her out there in Pennsylvania. So I repeated everything that he was saying to her, and he just kept on saying, yes, ma, what he was going to take care of, the money he was going to send, all of it. I even told her about the contracts, one that I had read on the plane coming.
I'm not going to do too much interjecting, all right? So I promise you that. I want to skip a little bit, though. You know what I'm saying? I want to get to the intricate part about the D-Rock situation and Puff having to be there and everything. I'm not going to play this whole thing. Shout out to Gene Dill. But I just want to skip a little so we can get to the meat and potatoes, because we already know the story. We've seen this. So let me just skip a little bit, all right?
To California, Big and D-Rock. See, none of them never came to none of the parties we were at.
All right, I'll leave it right here.
So, after the incident with Big and Charlie Baltimore, and I spoke about that before, we were in the studio one day. And this is prior to going to the Vibe party. And I was talking to D-Rock, and D-Rock was talking to me. He was expressing, you know, how you know, with the Snoop situation, with how Puff keep calling them and they dodging him in the whole nine yards.
That's
and
right, beautiful.
I see, man. He always saying, yo, he looking for y'all at the different places, like the House of Blues, where he's at, whatever club, whatever party, when he was going just chilling, you know, out for drinks or whatever. He's looking for y'all to be there. And then I hear him barking in big, talking about you're not using the studio time that he set up for him. You know what I'm saying? So, but I thought Big Album was done. So D-Rock, like, yeah, I know, man. We ain't fucking around out here, man. You know, he made it very clear to me that they was not going to go to none of the parties. And I told him, yo, dog, you shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? It ain't safe like that. I don't know why y'all think it's sweet. We had this conversation. Me and D-Rock had this conversation. And he assured me that he wasn't going to go and they wasn't going anywhere. Yo, we were so deep into the conversation, D-Rock lit up an L and he started smoking it. And I grabbed it and passed him a Newport and started smoking the L too. And he looked at me. He said, yo, Gene, that's the L. I said, I don't give a fuck what it is, bro. I'm letting you know it's like that, man. And D-Rock was like, you know, I know, man, we ain't fucking around. And so then I gave, you know, Star Smoke said we was talking. I said, yo, listen here, man, don't tell nobody. I said, don't get off that shit, man. You know, I'm just letting you know. And he shook my hand, gave me his hand. And that day was telling, he said, yo, man, I ain't saying nothing, dog. I said, on everything I love, say, yo, everything I love. He even said, on everything from my man from North Carolina. He said, on my nigga from North Carolina. I guess he thought I had knew him. I guess the dude was a Judy Mafia. He was a kid that big them knew. You understand? He said it. So we goes back into the studio. Because at this time, Puff was wanted Big to put Charlie Baltimore on some music, you know, so you know that they could squash out all that shit. So he was making certain kind of promises to her because of the incident that they had at the Four Seasons Hotel. So I think I went up front to check the front and everything. I came back, Puff and Big, them was all in the studio and everything like that. And Big said to himself, yo, Puff, I need some more security. I need security. And Puff said, bro, I got Gene here for you. Right there at the studio. And then
Let me, I meant to say this, right? When you look at the this is how you could tell. I was so mad trying to sleep last night. When you look at the Big First Night Part 1, when it shows Puff Daddy being interviewed by, yeah, I know she's knocked out. When they interviewed, BET interviewed Puffy and it was asking him about, was there any kind of, you know, warnings, like to be careful. He was like, it wasn't any. Y'all remember, was that the show with Wu-Tang, Bad Boy, and a couple of artists. I forgot everybody else that was on there. And that's when Big was like, yo, I've been getting death threats. I've been getting calls, man. I'm scared. So how the fuck Big is saying that? That was in 95. When did the show come out, y'all? When did the show come out? I think the show came out in 95. So you wasn't even protecting your fucking artists? Even Gene Dill said on one of these interviews he did, I think what was Art of Dialogue, where he said in right before, like, you know, when he was in L.A. or whatever, and when he was like, he know when you hear Big B on the phone, be like, yeah, those one of those death threat calls. So if Biggie was getting those, and he even said it on the show, thank you, August 25th, 1990 motherfucking five. So you don't even want to protect your artist that's still getting death threat calls. That shit is fucked up. That's evil shit. That's evil. Look at him now. His eyebrow, it points to look like horns. now. That's how much shit he been doing. His own eyebrow done naturally went to a fucking devil's horn. That's fucked up, and he knew what was going on. I'm going to play a little bit more because we all seen this already. So I'm going to play a little bit more. Shout out to Gene Dill. All right? Play a little bit more. We all seen this shit before. Let's continue.
Big, I guess he was setting it up.
Sorry, Mama. Sorry.
Because D-Rock had already told him.
Sorry.
That blew an L up. D-Rock told Big. He said, he must have told Big because Big said, Yo, Gene is back outside blowing L's with D-Rock. And I looked at this nigga D-Rock, and I was like, nah, this nigga ain't said that to Big. It hadn't been 15 minutes. So this man that gave me his hand, shook my hand and said, yo, he was going to hold that to himself. And
I'm going to skip a little bit more in a few moments.
Puff said, no, I don't believe that shit. Jane ain't smoked. Jane don't smoke no weed. Hey, yo, Gene, you're smoking weed with D-Rock? I said, I don't know what he's talking about. And then Big said, D-Rock, he asked D-Rock again, yo, D-Rock, did Gene blow it out with you? And D-Rock said, word to that man, that dude again, from North Carolina that had passed and everything like that. And like that. He said, nah, Pussy, I don't believe that about Gene. I said, so my thing about it is, now I'm going to get it off the subject. I said, oh, Big, you want to talk? Because me and Big, I spent the whole day with him. Here it is. I didn't know it at the time, but I was talking to a man that thought he was going to die. Or knew he had death coming at him. Because all the things that he was telling me about the Junior Mafia, Little Kim, you understand? All the things that he was talking about, what he was planning to do with the groups that he had, what he was planning to do in his life, it was like he was using me as some kind of vessel to vent all his hopes and his dreams that he really didn't see, because he knew or he felt he had death on him.
I think somebody's trying to kill me. I've been waking up paranoid. I'm really scared.
Lil' Kim. He said, yo, I love Lil' Kim. That's my bitch. From a whole other vernacular point of view, he's saying, yo, no matter what, me and Lil' Kim gonna always be together because we're gonna always be close. Because I got a love for her that I don't have for nobody else. I said, yeah, I can tell because you wrote that shit, huh? He said, yeah, I wrote that shit. He said, but I could never say that to Diddy because he owns my marketing and my publishing. I stated that before. I'm not going to go into that. Lil' Kim was like his Mary Magdalene. You understand? That was his Mary Magdalene. He said, the Junior Mafia. He said, right now, there's only one that I'm thinking about. I know I'm going to keep, that's Lil Seeds. Everybody else is going to have to work for their position. They got to do right, because this is a business now. So they're going to have to do their own writing. They got to show that they want to be here. Because I can't be mad at the nigga Puff, because Puff showed me how to get money. So I'm going to show them. But they got to be willing to work. Those was his disciples. But he said there was some betrayal going in between them. Because he said, Money L don't know that I know. But he slid off with Lil' Kim. I'm like, oh, shit. That's what he said. But it's all right, because that's always going to be my bitch. So that's the way he felt. He never mentioned anything or said anything about D-Rock, because that's his man. He was part of the Junior Mafia, but, you know, he wasn't a rapper or nothing like that. He just made sure everybody and everything was, you know, the way Big wanted to be. But what he didn't know, that D-Rock, Damian Butler, had just wrecked and left with the real Damian, and that was Diddy. This is where the caper comes into. Diddy had already convinced Big to do the business in California.
What? What you want?
6 months after Pac died.
Okay, I'm already upstairs. Close the door.
There was no reason. Give it a year or two. Give it some time. You know, the business still going to be the same. It was no reason. But he got him there. Just like the devil told Jesus he had to go to Jerusalem. Preach the gospel. He wasn't ready for that. Herod was not letting him get down with that. So, you know, they wasn't ready for that. But now, D-Rock is in the hands of Damian himself. That's Diddy.
Go downstairs and close the door.
Day.
Thank you. Go close
it was a setup. I got to convince somebody who has the power to move Big, to have the power to convince Big that we got to go to that vibe party. I'm going to break it down to y'all so how I know it may have been D-Rock who convinced Big to go to that party. Now, if Big did that himself, I put my hands up and I apologize.
Man, that chicken
the way
is good.
I talked to Big, and I was telling him, man, we shouldn't be going nowhere when we talking in that Winnebago. He made it clear to me that they wasn't going nowhere. How you supposed to have been in London?
I'm sorry. King Rio, I don't
because
care.
Because his financial situation.
I'm sorry. Can I eat a little bit? I'm sorry, brother.
See, what y'all didn't know.
Hold on.
Time of Big Death.
I'm sorry. I'm going to bring it back just a little bit. Look, I'm sorry if I'm not professional, but I'm going to be unprofessional right now. Check it out. Yeah, motherfucker. All right, bring it back.
He made it clear to me that they wasn't going nowhere. How you supposed to have been in London? That because his financial situation.
Yeah, I know I'm stupid,
he
man.
He had to come out there and do that shit for this. See, what y'all didn't know, at the time of Big Death, Big was broke. I told y'all about the fact that he had to get his contract to $60,000. He was going to start building on his mother's house. So to come out there and work on Diddy's album and do what he needed to do, because the video was shot and everything like that. After we did that Sunday night, we shot, you know, to the left. But that's the business that he chose because he needed to borrow that money. Like I said before.
I think I went back too far.
So now, we've had this conversation. Big, just, you know, one eye went that way, the other went the other way.
But I think I went back too far, right?
Oh, man. Look at, and that's the first time I ever heard him call him Dick. Oh, Diddy. Go ahead with that, Diddy. Go ahead with that, Diddy. And it didn't catch to me what he meant by Diddy until Puff left off the room. And I remember, like I said, playing Donkey Kong. And the little monkey that comes out at the end is his little nephew, and he Diddy Kong. And that's what I said to Big, oh, so what is it? He Diddy, you Donkey? Yeah, look at you, man. And I looked at D-Rock. I'm like, yo, my man, for real? For real, Rock? So now, all this has been staged and set. Puff got D-Rock in his grasp. using the girls that was with them to convince him, yo, y'all got to come to this party. We're going to make sure y'all have a good time. I can see him because I've seen him operate. I've been around him for years. So I've seen this man operate. And I know when he got them to that party, that's all he needed. For whatever reason, and we know the reason why now, because somebody got to die. Somebody got to die. And it couldn't just be no regular security guy, because they could have killed either one of us at any time. It had to be somebody. And I really believe today, the way the business was transpired and the way the shit went, Big was Jesus Christ. And they used his own man to be his Judas. We at the Vibe Party. D-Rock comes over to me. And this is how I know it was a difference. So you got to watch people behave. Lucy's was doing the same thing he always do. Laughing, joking, and smoking. Laughing, joking, smoking, drinking, going to get girls. Did the same thing he always did. But there was one person that didn't smoke, didn't drink, stood on the side and just watched Big. And that was D-Rock. See, what a lot of y'all didn't know was is that most of the time when I was sitting behind Big, I was the one with the number four, the black shirt with the number four with the glasses. Bartender, I had my gun out. Here, blocked by my hand under my shirt, or in my back like this. I wasn't playing it. D-Rock didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do anything. Why? I always wanted to ask him this question. I even tried to set up meetings with him when he came home after the incident that he
had. I'm
going to
end on this note.
But we had the same barber. On two occasions, he set up to meet me and never showed up. I can understand that he got businesses, but then I'm calling him like he owed me child support or something. Well, that might not be a good thing because all the mothers out there coming, nah, what do you mean? I don't care about you. Said, no, I'm calling this man like he owed me something.
Chris, Christopher Nathan, I'm going to address you in a few seconds,
kid. He gave me a burnout number. I went to the barber, told the barber, and then the barber must have got tired of me asking him. He told me, yo, I don't know. I guess Rock ain't meeting up with you.
I'm going to end it right there. Like I said, I wasn't going to play the whole video. Everybody know Gene Dill. Shout out to Gene Dill. Me and him spoke before. But, I'm going to delete this live anyway. This is his intellectual property. And Christopher Nathan, why are you using Gene's video? Did you get his consent? And no, I haven't. I didn't get his consent. I will tell the truth on that. And I'm not using this for monetary gain. I'm not doing that in any kind of malicious way. But I do respect Gene Dill. Is me and him cool? I wouldn't say, but is there a respect that I have for him? Absolutely. Have I spoken to him on the phone before? Absolutely. He actually called me one morning. I mean, I'm downstairs like 7 in the morning. He called me because after I left a message, though, you know what I'm saying? But we chopped it up for a minute. He actually seen my show before and said some and regurgitated some shit that I said when I spoke about the Biggie thing, when I was locked up, when I first heard about Biggie being locked up. So I'm not saying all that gives me a right to use is shit, but I'm respectfully using it. So, but much love to him. At the end of the day, I got a lot of love for him. Now, I was going to say, like, I got some videos to play. Oh, his autopsy. I got his autopsy right here. Let me just go to the autopsy. I forgot. I just looked it up. Let's go to Big's autopsy. And this is my first time ever looking at this autopsy. Ain't that a bitch? This is my first time ever in life looking at Biggie's autopsy. Crazy. All right. Wow. Unbelievable, baby. Wow, it's Christopher George Latour. Fifth Elliott Court, Teaneck, New Jersey. Da 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 da. Let's keep it moving. Let's scroll down. Front seat of a Suburban, traveling northbound Fairfax, driven by these, like, you know, these cousin Damon Butler. The vehicle stopped at the light at the intersection with Wilshire Boulevard, and another vehicle drove up on the right side and opened fire. Immediation driven to hospital, later pronounced dead. All right, let's scroll down. Rider in the front passenger seat of vehicle. Okay, that's hospital personnel. Wow, this is my first time really looking at this. How many of this is the first time you ever seen this? Press one for me, because this is really my first time. This is actually interesting. Okay, from the findings, gunshot wound to the abdomen, chest. Multiple non-fatal gunshot wounds. Let's get it. One, multiple gunshots. A, gunshot wound number one to the left arm, penetrating non-fatal soft tissue, injury only, bullet recovered. B, gunshot wound number two to soft tissue of back, perforating non-fatal, no projectile recovered. Gunshot wound number three to soft tissue to left thigh, perforating superficial lacerations of scrotum. Wow, non-fatal, no projectile recovered. Gunshot wound number four to abdomen, chest, penetrating fatal, perforating injuries to ascending colon, liver, right hemidiaphragm, pericardium, sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, y'all kiss my ass at the moment, heart and upper lobe of left lung, bullet recovered from anterior left shoulder area. So that was the fatal, the fourth one, man. Wow, damn, heart and up, damn, son, that one, because When you get shot, man, the bullet it hits and it just go all around the body. It's almost like a marble in like in a bowl or ball of some kind of bowl shit, and you just like, and it goes around and shit like that. That's how a bullet be it go in. If it don't go out, it'll go, it hits something and it travel throughout your fucking body, man. It start ripping shit, man. That man could have survived, son. Fuck, man. Let's continue, man. Fucking bitch ass niggas, man. Damn, son. Autopsy report. Da-da-da-da-da. Cerebral enema. Mild to moderate. Type stones. He had a cholesterol type stone, so he had some stones. Status post-foam fracture and placement orthopedic rod. Oh, okay. Following information obtained, the coroner's forms 1 and 18, as well as medical records. This 24-year-old male was a passenger in a vehicle when he was shot in a drive-by incident at approximately 0030 hours on March 9, 1997. He was taken to Cedar Sinai Hospital, arriving in the emergency room at approximately 0048 hours, in full arrest and with agonal rhythm. An emergency thoracotomy. All right, thoracotomy. the Rock Academy, goddammit, all right, revealed a large amount of blood in the chest and in the pericardium. Y'all gonna kill me for this, but I don't care. All of which is evacuated. All right? The intercardiac massage and internal defibrillations were performed with no response. He was officially pronounced dead at 0:11:115. That's fucked up, man. Medical records indicate that a bullet was found at the hospital when the body was turned over after pronounced of death. According to records, this was given to the police. According to the LAPD Wilshire Division, Detectives Chavez and Valderrama, two bullets were recovered from the hospital, each of which was found on the gurney on which the descendant was lying. The same detectives also report to the examiner that the bullets passed through a car door before striking the descendant. Right. Gunshot wounds are arbitrarily numbered for the convenience of the examiner and do not indicate a sequence of injury. Wow, son. That's a lot, son. I'm not going through all this shit here. I done. Damn, son. That's a lot, boy. Yo, they did my nigga dirty, son. Damn, son. Oh, wow. Wow, son. Wow. Okay, so this is what I was actually looking for as well. Wow, man. So he got, wow. Right here. She went, boom. Came out all around. Out. Wow, so the scrotum right here, damn, boom, they came out, bow, like, damn, son. Look at my nigga, son. Yo. Okay, wow. Man. Fucking bitch. Ass nigga, son. And these fucking police. I wish I had. If I was downstairs on the TV, because there's no TV up here, which I really want to. I should have been put a TV up here, but I would actually play the fucking what's the name, man. Yeah, that was a hit, son. I'm mad, yo. I'm fucking mad, man. Hating ass niggas, man. Hating ass niggas. And niggas knew Big ain't had shit to do with it. I can't even get my thoughts together. These niggas knew this nigga had nothing to do. This nigga, he wasn't pussy. He just knew that I left the streets. He knew he needed to move correctly. He got to pay bills. This nigga puff fucking me. I don't want to go back to the streets because doing these songs, I can get more money. Thank you, Puff, for fucking me. I don't need to say pause. Y'all know what I mean. With no Vaseline. All of that. All right. Now you got my masters of publishing. All right, I'm going to move on. I got a $62 million check for my group. And I'm going to get more money because I'm fucking writing everybody's lyrics. So I'm going to be rich and rich. Got my lawyers watching lawyers so I won't go broke. Now check it. Look at this bitch ass nigga Puff. These niggas set this nigga up. Puffy is Grammy and all these niggas, son. I swear to God. I don't like to say this like it's It ain't all that. I think I seen him once. Wait, it was something else I wanted to say before I go there. Gene Dill, right? Before it's on my mind. I'm going to get back. Gene Dill just had Kurt Burrows, right? He did a song with Kurt Burrows, right? I forgot what I was just about, what I just left to say. God damn it, somebody bring me back up to speed, too. Y'all know I'm fucking retarded. But he just did an interview with Kurt Burrows. This is what I fucking thought, yo. That we don't know how the conversation went. I want to send a message to Gene Dill. He knows I'm just doing this out of concern, out of love, and I don't know him from Adam. Kurt Burrows was there. He was the one that, if niggas need to get paid, Kurt Burrows was the nigga. I say that to say, Kurt Burrows went to Gene Dill's home. For those who follow me, y'all seen that little 5-minute clip we just put up there the other few days ago, right? I just happened to watch it last night. Right? Something in my mind told me, yo, that's good. Because I remember he calling the show, when you going to come and cook, man? I'm going to cook for you the third donation. So, again, what I thought, I'm like, yo, what if Puffy gave him, like, yo, go see him, let me know the layout, this, that, and third. I don't know, man. What if he went to his home just to give him the direct layout or how he move or whatever? I'm not saying Kurt Burrow's going to do some shit on line Gene Dill up. That was just my hood mentality. That was a hood mentality thought when I seen that. I could be wrong, but my instincts have to peak. Just like with this shit with Biggie Smalls, how the fuck B-Rock? You a hood nigga. A street nigga or a street wise nigga will automatically put his antennas up. Ding, 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 ding. Something ain't right. These niggas is in the belly of the beast in fucking Cali where these niggas shoot niggas for fun. And y'all playing around. Y'all fucking with Damien, nigga. That's what he called him. I just hope Gene Dill is safe. Look, he know how to hold them things. I'm just saying, I'm not saying Kurt Burrows will line you up. Just in my mind, you just never know. Because niggas going, you said this on your own documentary. When Big said, man, this is when he was talking about the $62 million check. He was like, man, you ain't coming with me. You staying with Puff, meaning like Gene B, his security. He said, I'm going where the money is. So if you say that, will Kurt Burrows be going where the money at? If Puffy going to give that nigga a bag, to be like, you know what, go to Gene B's house. Eat his food. Do your interview. Da-da-da-da. Show me the layout. Not saying Puffy don't even know where he live at already. I don't know. But when I seen that should just... I was happy about it. I was like, oh, damn. All right, so they finally did it. But then that hood shit kicked in me. Hope he ain't lining my boy up. You know? And I was going to something else, but I'm glad I caught that thought to say this about Kurt Burrows and all that shit. But I forgot what I was saying a little bit earlier before I sidetracked to this. If anybody remember, please tell me. But I just don't understand how these niggas did Biggie like that. We're going to go to, let's go to my boy. Do anybody want to call in? Because we about to get into the Pac shit. All this shit is relative. If y'all want to call in right here. I ain't going to be here that long, too. Be here for another half an hour, and I'm going to be up out of here. Please hit the like button if you have it. If you new, please make sure y'all subscribe. There will be no others that stand alive like them. Man, it's almost like it's inevitable that Biggie had to die and Pac had to die. Why? Bars. If anybody want to call in the number right there, let me see if anybody want to call in, man. I would like to hear somebody's thoughts, nigga. Y'all know I'm crazy. I can talk. Sometimes I don't like hearing my voice too long because I think my voice is annoying a little bit. Y'all tell me. Sometimes I don't like to hear my own voice. And I've been running around all day. Just came back, came on live. Baby girl here. About to have a daughter in on the 21st. By the 22nd, another one will be here, and that's it. Okay? No more babies. I'm coming on pussy lips, eyebrows, cheeks, and lips. That's it. That's it for me. You said what now? Do you believe Biggie Killer was on foot? I believe Biggie Killer was in a car. I believe how the fuck there's no cameras. We know there's cameras. It's cameras. There's cameras. There's cameras. There's fucking cameras. There's cameras. There's cameras. There's fucking cameras. There's cameras. No footage. FBI been finding that nigga the whole 9 yards, the whole time he was there. And now when it's time for him to die, y'all niggas is no, y'all can't even stop the killer from getting away. All this shit was a setup. Everybody's connected. That's why it's being sealed. Thank you for the congratulations, but God damn it, help me. It's gonna be a ride. Shit. It's gonna be a ride. That's why I will be having my product soon. And I'm trying to hit a home run with these shit. So, you know, I'm making shit happen. Believe that shit. Yes, Ms. Drew, I even see you in there. Peace, Queen. I see you. Peace, Queen, Ms. Drew. Salute to Callie. You already know. Yo, I need some more of that, you know what I mean? Some of that Callie love, man. Your shit, send that shit. Sound? Can y'all hear me? Cops were involved. That, yes. Everybody, go find. If y'all have the... Callie's always on the tap in. I fuck with Callie. Y'all niggas always fuck with the kid. That's why it's always Brooklyn to Callie all day, nigga. I fuck with y'all. FBI was watching Tupac and Big. Exactly. Nigga, there was Las Vegas. You telling me there's no cameras? Are you telling me there's no cameras? They all seen it. Get the fuck out of here, son. All this, it seemed like this was destined for this shit to happen, unfortunately. Okay, we got two calls. My boy, yo, Mike, you got to hold on, Brooklyn to Cali. 786, what's good, man? What you want now?
What's good? You hear me?
I'm good. Yeah, I can hear you, brother. Talk to me.
Yeah, man, about this whole Biggie shit. This shit is crazy. I feel like Diddy lined him up. The way Gene Dill talk about it is kind of like, you know, maybe Diddy knew, maybe he didn't know, but I think he really
right.
knew. And just the way he was acting that night.
I'm sorry. No worries.
No, the way he was acting that night from Gene's account, where it's just, it's like you somebody who, you know, you in an enemy territory. And you sitting there like, you know, lollygagging, and you even told the security not to come. You told Gene not to come that night after Gene told him, yo, they coming to kill us. So it's just crazy. I feel like maybe he knew he would have been protected or something, but yeah.
It's not hard to pinpoint this shit. It's just that nobody don't want to speak up. But Gene Dill,
yeah.
And how can anybody say that this man Gene Dill was alive? This nigga been there from the giddy up. This man is putting his life on the line. Nobody is going to put their life on the line for a lie. For a lie. Who will put your life, your children, your immediate, maybe non-immediate family, God forbid, in danger for a fucking lie? It makes no sense. He must be a fucking, he needs so much attention. I don't believe that. But nobody's going to put themselves, their livelihood, their family, everybody lives on the line for such a serious case like this over a fucking lie.
Yeah, and Kurt Burrows, I peeped at your angle, what you said, the hood view is like, man, maybe he lining them up, but it seemed like Kurt been, like, blackballed out of the industry, you know, to the point where I don't even feel like he would do that, but you never know with this crazy-ass industry. You never really do know. I know Gene mentality, from what he said out of his own mouth, is basically – you know they coming, and he got Nene and Nene. So, you know, that he come from the old school, you know, and he got his wits still with him. So, you know, to me, it's like one of those things where, you know, his kid's grown. He did what he had to career-wise, and now
right.
it's just like proof, you know. It's like, it's that, and he also – It's also a layer of redemption, because everybody thought it was his fault for so many years. People thought it was on him. When I first heard him breaking it down, I'm like, wow, really? Like, you know, right. This is not a story that everybody knows about. So
right.
It's contrary to what Diddy say, to what C say. Oh, Biggie X, Y, and Z, he wanted to be in Cali. So, like, no, he didn't want to be here. The man had a broken leg. Like,
right, couldn't hardly walk.
Come on, man. Let me say this
of what you said. So let me stay corrected. I didn't know that Kurt Burrows was blackballed at a certain point. That did cross my mind. But I would say corrected. If he has been blackballed, like I said, and I will do my own due diligence on that. But if so, then I will stand corrected, and I will know that Gene Dillman put somebody into his home if his I's wasn't dotted and his T's wasn't crossed. So let me stay corrected, and thank you for mentioning that. And close out.
Yeah, just in closing, I would say if you go on Kirk Burrows' YouTube, he got a nine-part thing from Clubhouse where he broke down his whole history. So that's a really good spot to see that. But I mean, in closing, man, this industry is crazy. I used to do music. I'm glad I stopped doing it because the nature of that shit is just really evil, man. I mean, music is a beautiful thing, but when you mix beauty with business, you're trying to pimp a butterfly. You know, it's hard to stay pure within that. So, man, as crazy as it may seem to a lot of people, it's not that crazy because the industry is just sick, man. So, yeah, I hope one day the truth comes to light. I mean, to me it has, but for the masses, just to understand and to really understand who Diddy is and who Gene is, you know, just the truth. Truth is going to come to light regardless. So,
absolutely.
You know, Gene is doing his job. You're doing your job, you know.
Hey, man, I want to say thank you for your call, King. You stay up. You stay blessed. Thank you for checking in.
Same to you. Be good.
Peace. Brooklyn to Cali. Hold on. I got you. One more second, King. And this made me think of this, and that's absolutely right. And I'm sorry. I'm going to... It's very evil in that industry, and the truth is out already. The truth is out. It's already out. It's just that community, that set, that small club, the boys club, Brotherhood, Hollywood, Entertainment. It's a small club with a lot of power. With a lot of media power. You see, media, they change the narrative. These are the mediums. So these rappers and these actors and these people that you follow and who know Gene Dillon is talking the real shit, that know the real about certain things that's going on and all of that shit, they are not going to say it. So the more you don't see them validating shit, everybody's just going to go just buy that narrative as nothing is going on. And then when you look at Puff push it up, you're going to see all different type of celebrities liking it and shit like that, liking it. You'll see who liked this shit, this, that, and third. Everybody's still cool. Nobody don't want to say anything. That's why Black Boule, facts. Everybody knows the truth, but they're not going to say anything. So it seems like people is waiting for that validation from the people who is actually in the industry that you see every day to validate it. They are not going to do that because doors will be shut on them. So these niggas ain't going to say nothing. Puffy still got power. This is what I was going to say. I think I met Puff once, if I'm not mistaken, because my boy, I'm not going to say no names. I even showed y'all the video that me and him did. He was with Crazy Cat Productions, which is D'Angeletti, the real D'Angeletti, the mad rapper. I used to be around the mad. I've been around the mad rapper, and Kenny, at least around more than four times in my life. Rob, we went to Sony Studios before. We was actually in the crib. I mean, it was me, my boy, who was with Crazy Cat Productions, me, him, D-Dot, and Kenny rhyming, like, oh, niggas was hyped that I was rhyming. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, I'm spitting. Niggas is like, oh, you know what I mean? I'm like, I maybe something going to happen here. That's on my brother's spirit. This is all in, like, 99, so this is when we really, like, I really took it serious. In the studio with, I seen motherfucking, I said this old story before, but I say it again. Devontae coming in with two bad bitches. He was looking bummy, but he had the biggest diamond fucking rock on his finger. I'm sitting in a chair right here. D-Dot over there. Lady May right here. I think it's Blue Plantrell. Lady May over there. Some fine-ass Asian girl right there. I don't know if Tracy Lee, we met Tracy Lee, oh, in party time. We met him on an A-train headed to the studio. Tracy Lee, shout out to Philly. And I say all that to say this. I am happy that things didn't take off. I am happy. My boy, he wrote for Diddy too, who I'm not naming. But niggas from my projects, all that I got to say is 11 Alive. Building 11. We all know what it is from there. You know? And he's still around him. Hope I ain't get a text like, yo, nigga, shut up. I don't give a fuck. But at the end of the day, I am glad. Yes, Devontae from Jodeci. Yes. Yes. That's on my own spirit, life, bloodline, everything. I'm just happy that in a lot of beats that came out, we had those beats before. I'm just happy that it didn't go anywhere. My boy, he's still in tune and tap with these niggas now. I see him. I love him. We just don't really vibe like that. I love him, and I know he'll look out for me. I love him. I love him, man. Grew up with him. I love my boy. But, you know, our energy will never be the same, but I would never let nobody hurt him. If you need me, I'll be there. But I just can't fuck with you, you know. But I'm just happy things didn't go, because I wouldn't want to see that shit. I probably would have been a sacrifice or some shit like that, because I would, my, not to just talk about me, I'm just saying that my attitude, my spirit, I can't let that shit happen to me. I would be the black sheep. I would be the one that they got to neutralize or get rid of. You understand what I'm saying? I would be that type. No, keep this nigga away. Like when Choke No Joke went to that damn club and Puffy was like Fresh Fish and all that shit. I would be the nigga that you don't have him around. He is too masculine. And that's real shit. So I'm glad things didn't go well. Things just turned out the way it is. It's all good. I don't blame God for anything. I thank God just for keeping me alive. That's all that matters. As long as I'm alive, I can make shit happen. Just keep me here. I do the rest. And secure me and guide me and protect me, my ancestors, my spirit, my angels, all that shit. As long as y'all keep me here and protect me, I do the rest. But anyway, I just want the choir to say amen. Let me go to my boy, Brooklyn, some motherfucking Cali. It's popping. And then I'm going to get to that new clip. What's good, baby?
Hey, man, look, my grandma always told me God don't make no mistakes.
That's right.
I hate the way Big went out, you know what I'm saying? He shouldn't have been in Cali. I feel like Puff knew Big was on his way trying to separate from him, so it was kind of like, you know, he sacrificed that man's life in order for him to have the fucking fame that he have right now. Because
right.
Big was that big of a motherfucking entity, no pun intended. And niggas talk about Puffy back then, but niggas really wasn't talking about Puffy as far as this rap shit. You got to remember, this nigga Puffy almost got a diamond rap album. That nigga can't rap. And all this shit happened after Big died. Really
Fact.
Coming to the forefront, I mean. All about the Benjamins, and can't nobody hold me down. He lucky
he was able to have, find Mace.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, because that was a transition. Like, a lot of niggas don't understand how hard it is to catch one in the industry. But if you catch 2, 3, 4, but all right. these niggas is down bad after you fuck with them, it's you, nigga. You gotta be careful, man. That nigga Puff is a fucking scavenger, and he a snake. And I hate that Big had the fucking, you know. I even hate talking about it because I know his kids, they still gotta live that, you know.
Yeah, every day.
You know, every fucking day, man. He got a daughter. He got a son. He gotta live that, man. Even, like, we don't even know what kind of motherfucking pain they put on their heart. They may still be trying to get over that shit to this day because they have that void in their life, a person right. larger than life, not here anymore. All we got is stories about him now,
yep.
you know? And I respect Gene Deal, man, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to even lie. I used to think Gene Deal was a liar and he was doing shit for clout, but then I thought about it, and I'm like, man, what he got to lie for.
Right.
He put his life on the line, like you said, over a lie? I think not.
Right.
You know? A lot of these stories that Gene Deal tell, I'm very, very, I feel privileged to be able to hear those stories because even so, though we was all listening to Big and shit back then, 95, 96, 97, even before that when Ready to Die came out, we wasn't there. We was there,
right.
but we wasn't there. So he got a first-hand account on everything that's fucking going on, you know? And I also feel like we know Pac know Big didn't do to set him up, but Pac couldn't turn around and tell niggas that shit after he done let the shit ride for so long. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he could turn around and tell niggas, nah, everything cool, Big didn't do that shit when the West Coast was really riding with that nigga. You know, it was so much of a fucking a storyline that Vibe even made a fucking. They had an album cover, they had a magazine cover talking about East versus West and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They ate off of that shit too.
Yeah.
I mean, they fell for the banana in the tailpipe, and they supposed to be the journalists. They the ones that really supposed to do their due diligence and find
Quincy
out
Jones.
What's going on before you.
Quincy huh? Jones, he's behind the Vibe magazine.
Yeah, I know.
Like, hey, man, he asked me to put my sausage in his peanut butter. Like, hell nah. So Quincy Jones is like, man, fuck that. Then what happened? Puffy was going to make Quincy Jones' daughter, Tupac's wife, to drink piss and shit like that. The next thing you know.
Her fine ass.
Yeah, and next thing you know, she's inviting Puff to the Vibes party. Invite that
yeah,
was her party. We took that together. She orchestrated that party where Biggie got killed. All of that shit just stuck. It just don't make sense. It makes sense. It makes sense, but it don't make sense.
That was a fine bra right there, but yeah.
She alright though. I ain't gonna front. She's fine.
I liked her. I liked her, man. You know what I'm saying?
I liked her.
I'd be done did every hole, man. Don't play with me. You know what I'm talking about? That's how I be feeling. Look, I'm now about to get off subject right quick. That's how I be feeling about Dre and Michelle. I'm like, damn, every hole, my nigga. God damn.
Dre, she damn sure could get it.
Boink. Look, out of all the basketball wives, she, nigga, it ain't even close, man.
Word.
But I digress.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? But yeah, man. Rest in peace, the Big man. Like I said, I can't even believe it's been 25 years, bro. I was 16 when he passed away. I would have been 17 in May. I was fucking 16, bro. And I couldn't believe that shit when they said he passed away. Like, I kind of, with the way Pac was moving, I kind of knew Pac had his shit coming, man. I ain't even going to lie because he was real reckless. And once you start fucking with that gang shit, man, California and these gangs, man, like, it's a reason why we really known for that shit. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker ain't, this shit ain't sweet out here, man. It's so many fucking active gang members out here, bro. Like, you can't just be doing shit to niggas. And you think Orlando Anderson was going to let a rapper nigga put hands on him, and then he got ties to the mob, my enemy, my nigga, we in Compton? Hell no.
And then why they wanted to kill Biggie after that, knowing that was some gang shit. That's the shit.
Gang
I don't,
shit.
You know what I mean? So they had to make this shit. It had to be done. That's why allegedly Puffy was trying to get him out there because he ain't want to go. They was like, man, you know what? I got to get Big up.
You remember they had ties to them Southside Crips, man. Keefe D and them was being them niggas securities. You know what I'm saying? That's how come Keefe D, even though Keefe D is a fucking rat, niggas be wanting to shit on that nigga's stories and shit. That nigga don't got nothing to lose. That nigga be telling everything.
No, that nigga's a funny ass dude too.
When he threatened Mike Tyson, my nigga, I was like, nah, Keefe D, you need a gun to take Mike Tyson out. That nigga beat the shit out of your stupid ass. You talking
word
crazy. That nigga Mike Tyson still in physical shape. This nigga will beat the shit out of 90% of niggas look like right about now.
For real.
You
absolutely.
But, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. All right.
I'm about to say, man, I wasn't trying to, you know, take up too much of your time, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to put my two cents in, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening just like everybody else. Rest in peace to Big. Rest in peace to Pac. Rest in peace to all the fallen soldiers, man, because a lot of times if we have a conversation, this shit didn't even have to happen, man. If niggas use common sense, this shit didn't even have to happen. If niggas would swallow their ego and keep it real with themselves, it didn't even have to happen. It didn't even have to go down like that, man. And we could have still been talking about Big and Pac in the same light that we talk about Puff or Jay or Snoop or all the niggas that's really, really big in hip-hop today. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like they did us a disservice by taking that man out. You know he was a one-of-a-kind MC, one of the illest flows ever. Niggas so ill that niggas can't even mimic the shit. You just got to respect that, man. You know what I'm saying? As far as rapping, he wrapped circles around Pac. As far as Pac's outreach, though, Pac had it in the reach. But when it came to the people. But other than that, man, I just want to say it's Brooklyn to Cali, man. I got a lot of love for y'all, man. Everybody in the chat, keep y'all head up, man. Happy Friday. And, you know, that's it, brother.
Yo, man, you already know, nigga, Brooklyn to motherfucking Cali, my G. Salute.
Stay up, brother. Salute.
Peace.
Peace.
I hit up my boy Casino Roulette too, so I'm gonna try to get him to close out the show. But we're gonna push this thing forward. All right. We're gonna push this thing forward. All right. For those who haven't seen the clip, let me play this clip and then we're gonna go to Art of Dialogue and OG Ron G, the legendary Ron G. So let's get it. Oh, hold on.
Since 25 years since the murder of Notorious B.I.G. in a drive-by shooting on an L.A. street rocked the music industry to its core. A quarter of a century later, the slaying remains officially unsolved, a case steeped in conspiracy theories and alleged cover-ups.
But as KTLA's Mary Beth McDade found out, some say the case has been solved and the killers identified.
It's all good, baby.
Baby.
Notorious B.I.G., otherwise known as Biggie Smalls, whose real name is Christopher Wallace, was on the top of the charts when he was gunned down while leaving a Soul Train after party March 9th, 1997, around 12:30 a.m., a car pulled up alongside his green SUV, and the driver opened fire, killing the 24-year-old rapper. It's now 25 years later, and still the case remains unsolved. Or does it?
The murder of Biggie, it's not unsolved. It's solved. And the LAPD even states in their own internal affairs documents that are under seal who was involved and who helped orchestrate and commit that murder.
Retired FBI agent Bill Carson, who had worked the Biggie case, shared with us those documents. He says Suge Knight used rogue LAPD cops and one of their friends to kill Biggie in retaliation for the murder of Night Star rapper Tupac Shakur, who was killed in a shooting in Vegas 6 months prior. Carson says Knight had a group of LAPD officers on the payroll, providing security for him and his death row records and their gangster activities. Carson says the two main officers involved in Biggie's killing were Rafael Perez and David Mack, both connected to the Rampart scandal. And Mack made more headlines when he robbed a bank a few months after Biggie's death.
The LAPD, some police officers helped to orchestrate it, and ultimately it was Amir Muhammad who was the trigger man.
Muhammad was a longtime friend of Mack. Carson says there's evidence that all three, Perez, Mack, and Muhammad, were at the Peterson Automotive Museum the night of the deadly shooting. But as the lead LAPD investigators on the original case started getting closer to proving that corrupt LAPD officers were involved in Biggie's killing, they were shut down. Carson says it was a very turbulent time for the LAPD and believes the department was trying to salvage its reputation rather than seeking justice for Biggie.
They had already had a major black eye from the Rampart scandal. They had a major black eye from the whole Rodney King issues, and they couldn't afford to take another hit.
Carson says when the FBI launched their own investigation in 2002, with him at the helm, nothing had been done with the case in years. He says his investigation led him down the same path towards Suge and the rogue officers as the culprit. But after the Wallace family filed a $400 million civil case against the city of L.A. and the LAPD stepped forward and put a kibosh on his investigation and the court case for moving forward by saying their case was still open and so all documents needed to be sealed.
The reason that they were trying to derail my case was they had already been hit for $100 million, the cost from the Rampart case, and a civil suit had been filed on behalf of the Wallace estate for $400 million, and they could not take that financial hit. It would have absolutely destroyed the LAPD and the city of Los Angeles.
Suge Knight is currently serving time for a 2015 hit-and-run killing. Amir Muhammad, who also goes by Harry Phillips, is reportedly working in real estate in Georgia. As Rafael Perez, he reportedly changed his name to Ray Lopez and is involved in the limo business. And David Mack was released from prison after serving time for the bank robbery. Now, we weren't able to reach any for comment tonight. Now, as for the LAPD, they say the case is still open and robbery and homicide detectives will not be commenting.
Now, you see that shit, man? At the end of the day, man, it's fucked up what they did to Big. That's really fucked up. We're gonna keep it pushing up. We're gonna keep it pushing. We're gonna go to right here. Let's get it. I ain't gonna hold you. Let's get it.
So I wanna backtrack, my man, because you made a comment. You said that Tupac had
number one, please make sure y'all go to my homie, The Art of Dialogue. Please make sure you subscribe to the platform if you haven't. Great content, good brother. He's definitely doing this fucking thing. Much love to him. Please make sure y'all go subscribe to The Art of Dialogue and check out all of his of his interviews, man. Salute to my guy. Let's get it.
Had two guns when he was... So I want to backtrack, my man, because you made a comment. You said that Tupac had two guns when he was at your house recording. Because it's a known fact that when Tupac was getting robbed at Quad Studios, he attempted to try to pull out a gun. And you also said Tupac was acting nervous when he was at your house recording.
Yeah, he did. He did. So that's why I think he made that song like that, saying people were trying to kill him. I think all that was mentally in his mind. When he heard the beat that I did with the ambulance running back and forth through it, he probably was like, this is perfect. And that song itself goes down in a hip-hop hall of fame. Like, I get offers to this day about that song. They be like, yo, I want to buy that master. I offer you $50,000. I'm like, nope.
Right. Did you know Jimmy Hinchman was the one that killed Patient Tupac while he was at your house recording? Did Tupac make any comments to you about Jimmy Hinchman Patient?
Nah, yeah, they said that afterwards, like when I started to see, when I seen the interviews and read the vibe and a few other, and I realized after that that's who he was saying was calling him. But at the time, I didn't know who Jimmy was, you know, so I had no idea who these guys were and how serious of a situation it was going to be. I knew Little Sean at that time because I would run into him. He would come uptown with his drop top Lexus. He used to have a drop top Lexus at that time. He would pull up that Rucker and he'd be jumping out there like on the roof, like he had a drop top. So he'd be standing up, you know, it's a performance thing for him. And we was always cool. So, but I didn't never know the ties to everything at that time.
Yeah, man. Tupac was actually going to Quarry Studio to do a song with Little Sean, but Tupac didn't tell you though, right?
Nah, he didn't tell me because I think he wanted me to stay in the DJ's place or a music producer's place. You know, he didn't want to be like coming to me telling me his issues. So that's why I think I didn't know, which I am glad that I didn't know because maybe,
you're right.
You know, if I would have been not here, you never know, you know?
Right, right. What was the last words he said to you before he left your studio?
He just was like, all right, Ron G, yo, I can't wait to hear that shit, man. Like, that was his thing. And what I also want to say is that, you know, I had did a party in New Jersey one day. I forgot what part of New Jersey I was in. And the Outlaws came to me. I was doing a party in the skating ring or something. The Outlaws came to me, and they said to me, like, I was DJing. People on the skates and all that, and they came to me and said, yo, G, the Outlaws is at the door and they want to see you. And I was like, let them in, you know what I mean? So they all came in. It was like five of them. Shout out to the Outlaws, you already know, rest in peace, you know, to the Outlaws that are no longer here with us, but Idi Amin, that's my boy right there, you know, and Young Noble, that's my peoples. But they came to me and they said, yo, Pac just want to let you know he knows you ain't got nothing to do with that. He's seeing his love. So all I needed to hear, that eased a lot of the pain that I had because I was like, you know what I mean? I have never seen him after that, you know?
Wow.
I saw the Outlaws, but I never saw them.
How did you feel when Tupac said that Big Stretch has something to do with him getting set up at Quad Studios? Because he was actually at the studio with y'all recording prior to the incident.
I was shocked. I didn't understand why he would think that. I didn't understand what was going on. Since then, I learned a lot about, you know, money, people, things change. People change. So I just couldn't believe that he thought that, you know. So I wasn't quite sure why he would think that, but he must have felt something, you know, I don't know. And then I had Stretch I got killed, and, you know, it was just like, to way too much for me. I'm just like, man, this is nuts. So I was just really like shocked that he would think Stretch had something to do with it.
And when both of them was at your studio, the vibe was good, right? You didn't see no signs that he knew something was going to happen to Tupac later.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know, that's his boy. I'm just happy they both here, you know, at the studio. So,
out of curiosity, man, did you know Big Stretch besides him coming to your house with Tupac to record a song they did for your mixtape the day of the Quad Studios incident?
Well, I never really met him. I only met him that day when he came to the studio. I was really it for me. All I knew was I was showing him the new video he had out. Was a Live Squad it was. I think the name of his crew. But I had never met him prior to that. I knew that was Tupac homie. And if that was Pac homie, that was my homie. I was like, yo, come in. You know what I mean? And I didn't really know him at that time.
What was you thinking, man, when you were seeing all this going on? You know, you being in the studio with Tupac, then hours later, he gets shot at Quad Studios, then he get accused of rape, then he goes to prison for sexual assault. What was you thinking, my man?
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, I was saying I was confused because I was like, Tupac, to me, didn't seem like the type of dude that had to, like, rape a girl. You know, he's a celebrity. He's fit. You know what I mean? He's active. He's a movie star. He's talented. I'm like saying to myself, like, well, why would he have to? Why would I felt like it possibly was a setup for him? You know what I mean? And I was concerned, but as a DJ, you know, it was nothing I could say or do. But I was just troubled by that. I was just like, yo, I don't understand. Because I'm like, he just came out with Brenda's Had a Baby, I Get Around, and all these women songs. And then all of a sudden he falls into that situation. I felt like he possibly was set up.
All right. He had to be set up. That's number one. He had to be set up. Big warned him. Tupac tell him. Biggie told him, don't run with these dudes. There's an interview out there. I swear to God, I heard it. And that's, look, it's out there. Somebody find it for me because I lost it. Tupac said that Biggie did warn him to not fuck with those niggas. Haste and Jack, Jimmy Henchman, and the rest of them niggas. Tut, no, them niggas. Don't fuck with them. Those some bad dudes. Grimy niggas. Pac goes back and tell them. A lot of people say New York niggas be trying to front on Pac. No. You have to understand something. Something, not us. When I say us, I'm not saying me. I'm saying New York. So I'm just talking for those who know him from this side of town where he came and how real niggas seen him at that moment of time. They seen a different side of Pac that wanted to, not want to be down, but he's coming back. He's in New York. He's trying to feel himself way in New York, try to get next to the realest. You know what I'm saying? It happens. Like, when you grow up in the hood, you want to be around the niggas who's in the in crowd, not that's on the out crowd, that the niggas that get, you know, smacked upside the head and all types of shit. So niggas is not trying to front him. And he dressed a certain way. So when niggas said this, that, and third, this, that, and third, the next day Pac came with some jewelry, he looked in a different way. So it wasn't like niggas be trying to clown him. It's just that niggas seen a different Pac than what the world saw. It's not to play him. It's just different from other people's experience. That's not to look down on his gangster. He's a warrior. He's gangster. It's so much about this dude I respect. And I said it the other night. There's so much about Pac I respect. But Biggie warned him. He go back and tell them niggas what Biggie said. And they ran up on Big. They touched him up. They robbed him too. They got at Biggie for that. You my man. I stepped on your couch, nigga. You had me perform. You let me perform at the beginning of your shows. You're my man. Don't fuck with these niggas. That's what your man's supposed to do. Thank you, my G. Thank you for putting me on cold. He go back and tell a nigga. Niggas get that big. You fuck with them niggas. You at the hotel. Haste and Jack pick you up from, this is the Little Sean story. Pick you up from the goddamn airport. You get in the car with mad weed and guns and shit like that. Y'all driving all crazy. Little Sean like, nigga, yo, drop me by my car. Yeah, I'm going to meet y'all niggas tonight. They at the hotel. That's where he got charged for that rape shit. You fucking with niggas that niggas told you to stop fucking with. Let's get to the video. You with Ron G. You getting beat by Jimmy Henchman. And you're nervous. Your mind is not there. And then you write that rhyme about niggas and you see death around the corner. You feel niggas trying to kill you. These niggas keep paging you. Yo, come to Quad Studios. Get over here. This is before when Pac was saying, when the interview, it said that, yo, he called basically the niggas groupies. Gangsta niggas groupies. So he knew. So we had to have the Glock. The Stretch brother said it in the interview. This is all documentation. And niggas still look at Big like Biggie did some fucked up shit. I'm trying to understand it. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not being biased. Jimmy is telling you to come here. Nobody know you was there. Biggie didn't know. Pac would have said this shit. Somebody, Big knew I was coming here. I told Big. Niggas didn't know you was coming there. Pac don't leave nothing out. Pac is very outspoken. He would have said, nigga, I even spoke to Big and told this nigga I'm coming to the motherfucker studio. Motherfucker. You know how he be moving with his hands and how he move like that? He would have told the motherfucking world already that this nigga knew I was coming. Big didn't know a motherfucking thing, son. Jimmy called you over there and nigga stuck your ass up and you still blame Biggie for it. You had the answer. Your niggas had guns in the studio. Big went back and got the fucking gun from under the goddamn piano. Went to the hospital. Tupac's biological father said it. Biggie was there. He came. I seen Big. But they couldn't let him go to see Pac, and Biggie turned around and left. What else you want a nigga to do? After you saying, fuck you niggas and stand at third, you went to the one you felt more comfortable on throwing your anger on instead of the niggas who actually got at you. Fuck that. And stop blaming Biggie for some shit Pac done. I got a lot of love for him. But let's not let his image override the inconsistencies in the story. He should have stayed dancing. I get around. You should have stayed dancing, nigga. Nah, son. It's no hate. It's no biasness. Let's look at the facts. And then you come out. Promise to pay back Jimmy Henchman in due time. I know you bitch niggas is listening. The world is mine. Set me up. Hurt me up. Hurt, stuck me up. Now the guns bust. But you tricks never shut me up. Touch one of mine. And everything I earned, you destroy everything you touch. Play the game, nigga. Come on. You knew this shit already. This nigga Big died for nothing. Biggie died for nothing. Bro, you a fan. I'm a fan of who? I'm a fan of Pac? Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm a fan of Big? Abso-fucking-lutely. So what that supposed to say? I don't know if you're being sarcastic. I'm just in a moment. So if I'm coming off like that, it's all passion, not anger. You goddamn right I'm a fan. I'm a fan of both of these niggas. But I'm just saying, goddamn, man. Come on, son. What I'm going to do... Do you want me to open the phone lines? Because I'm going to let my boy Casino Roulette close out. What the fuck is wrong with my eye? And then I got to leave. And then I'm out. But I have to. I got to spit one of my favorite verse from Big. One of my favorites. So I'm going to spit that to close it out. Do anybody want to call in? Press one. If not, let me know now so I can call my boy. This is out of all love. I got a lot of love and respect for Tupac, but on, man. Come on. That shit fucked shit up, son. And my nigga and Diddy with your little funky ass, you niggas, this is fucked up, son. I'm not to keep bringing up the same old story, but I swear it's different. Like I said, when I heard that Biggie was dead, it's just different for me. Because I don't want to say that story again. Y'all already know the story when I found out in Atlanta in juvenile detention and niggas was happy Biggie died. Okay? So it's a different, I just feel different. You know, I take it in a different way than I guess certain people. I'm not sure. Biggie was a snake friend. This is what, look, I ain't mad at you. This is why I got the phone lines open. Let's get it. I like this. Let's have this dialogue real quick. My mouth is dry and everything. That's what I'm talking about. If you feel that he was fake, a snake, please call in. Let's do it. I respect that dialogue. I won't argue with you. Let's have this dialogue, family. Let's get it. I'm going to open the phone lines. If you felt, let's talk about it. You know, this is a touchy subject. Yes, the truth is slowly coming out. And the more you hear it from different people, the more you start to put the pieces together. This is why I came live. I wasn't coming live today. My daughter whipped my ass today. Whipped my ass. And then when I go to sleep, she's probably going to wake up and fuck me up again. I felt this shit. Because it's like, come on. The more the shit is coming out slowly but surely. We just don't know when. It's just slowly leaking out like a slow leak, goddammit. Let me put the number in, motherfucker. Did I put it in there already? Call in, nigga, since you're saying this, all this other shit. Where's this homie name at? What's your name again? PC Angel Dust. Damn, nigga. That name alone lets me know. Yeah, you about to get on here tweaking. Now, beautiful Array, Indigenous Queen. Now, I don't want to say I concur. I don't know if you have a point. But some people say after he did Bishop, he became different. But not to say he didn't already have that warrior spirit in him. So I'm not saying that. Well, right, PC Angel Dust, you're going to be on this phone line tweaking, nigga. Yo, I'm tired. So you're not even going to call in? All right, let me call my boy. Listen, he already got the heads up. Let's get him. I'm calling you now, nigga. Let's talk about it.
Yo, what it do, Marty?
You know, roulette, man. What's poppin', baby? Let's talk about it.
Man. Listen, man. I was getting ready to call you, man. Listen, man. Shit. Don't nobody else want to call and talk in about this, man? You know, listen, man. First and foremost, man, R.I.P. to the late, great Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, listen, Mike. You know I'm a diehard Tupac fan. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so let's backtrack. Let's unpack a lot of this stuff I heard you talking, man. I told you I was watching the show, you know what I mean, before we started conversing, you know, behind the scenes. So let's unpack this. Okay, first of all, I am so disappointed in us as a culture because, first of all, before I awake, the Tupac exhibit that's out in California right now that's set to go around the United States and possibly around the world. Okay, first of all, look at how we dropped the ball with this, man. We got people from another culture, no disrespect because I love white people, I love any other people outside of black people, but we got people from a different culture that has picked up the ball that we dropped. And they running with it. And what do I mean by running with it? That Tupac Museum, that Tupac, all that stuff they got around Tupac, man, is going to generate millions and billions of dollars. And none of that would go to Tupac family. His sister won't see a red cent of that. His lineage won't see a red cent of that. But everybody from Interscope Records, Tom Wally and his family would pass that down for generations and generations. Okay, we dropped the ball on that. Okay, what? Now, think about this. Like Gunzo said, R.I.P. to Gunzo, before Gunzo died, look at what happened to the Outlaws. If anybody that was supposed to pick up the torch, it was the Outlaws. But that is the biggest fumble in hip-hop history, what they did with Tupac Legacy. Now, look, now they trying to do their own thing. But how can you do your own thing when you didn't do right by the person that brought you through this door? Okay, now let's unpack this some more. Okay, now when we talk about Tupac Shakur, I look at the art of dialogue. I look at all this, Bomb First and all that. First of all, man, listen, the story is already out. We already know what happened at Death Row. We already know what happened to Tupac. Hey, shout out to my partner, BG Knockout. Listen, man, we already know what's going on. The streets already know what happened. It was a bunch of nigger shit going on at Death Row. They pissing in pictures. They knocking out windows. They shooting in buildings. Come on, man. How long you thought that was going to last? Come on, man. So, first of all, we are our own worst enemy. We always pointing at other people saying this is the reason, that is the reason. But like my mama told me, when you point one finger at somebody, Clifford, you got three more pointing back at you. So be careful at who you pointing at. So saying that to say, we pointing at that and pointing at them, but we tore down this whole situation. Suge Knight took down Death Row. Everybody that was in that circle took down Death Row. Listen to the stories from Reggie Wright. Listen to Mark James. Listen to everybody from Death Row past. Come on, man. We got to stop acting like we don't know what's going on. And when you talk about Biggie Smalls, everybody say that Biggie was a person that didn't deserve to die and things of that nature. But, hey, I was always told you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I got shot six times sitting in my car. I didn't get shot six times sitting in my car because I was a saint. Nah, I was out there pushing the line. I was mashing the gas. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't get shot up by being a saint. So what happened to Biggie Smalls, it's just karma, baby. It's the repercussions of the life that we live when we out in them streets. Some of us die, and some of us take those bullets and come back a better person. So it's all about how you look at situations. So me saying everything, and I'm saying all that to say, death row failed because nigga shit. Pac died behind nigga shit. Biggie died because of nigga shit. They was all wrapped up in bullshit, and that's the outcome. Death.
Hey, man. Hey. Anything else, bro? That's it.
Hey, man. You know? Hey, man. This is what I want to say, bro. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I'm sitting here right now looking at a Biggie figurine that I got sitting on my my table right now.
Yes, sir.
So that means that I'm a fan, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not speaking from the perspective of a hater. I'm speaking from a perspective of somebody that really admired those two brothers and are just disappointed when I really found out how the story unfolded. You know what I mean? Like, they led us down a road of destruction, for one, because everything that they were saying on those records, we was living and dying by it. You know what I mean? Like, I got a couple of homies in the graveyard right now that died off a couple of Tupac songs. You know what I mean? So saying all that to say, they led us astray. But now as we are grown men, we know where the bullshit lies. And as grown men, we got to start telling the truth to these kids. You got people like Wack 100 on the internet that's just trying to, you know, trying to make everybody a gangbanger. But how can you be online pushing the line? You a gangster. Get your ass in them streets. Get off this internet trying to make everybody gangsters. Come on, man. This shit right here, we done got so infatuated with the gangbanging and the gangster culture to that's all we talk about now. We don't talk about scientific shit no more. We don't talk about things that's happening in the culture no more unless it's some buffoonery. Come on, man. When are we going to start getting back to critical thinking? We got kids out here dying left and right. We got old folks that's passing away, and the knowledge is passing away with them. Somebody told me the richest place in the world is a graveyard, and I believe it thanks to COVID, and I believe it thanks to this game banging and this stupidity that we got from these old people. I'm going to come out with a new T-shirt line, Mike, and it's called You the Problem, Old Head. You the Problem, Old Head. That's the name of my new T-shirt for the simple fact of we got all these men out here with this Peter Pan mentality. Grow your ass up. Peter Pan grew up. Michael Jackson dead. You see what happened? Life is real. So we got to start teaching these kids something other than game banging and teach these girls other than just shaking your ass on Instagram and Twitter.
Yo, what you call OGs? You got a name for OGs. What is it?
I call them old and great. That's what I call them, old and great. Ain't no more original gangsters. They old and gray. You the problem, old head.
I remember that shit.
You feel me, Mike? Man, listen, bro. I'm just in my spirit right now, Mike. Man, I got a new attitude, bro. I got a new mentality. I got a new way of living. You know what I'm saying? Come June of 2022, they about to see the new me, man. And I'm talking about I got the new me sprinkled with a little bit of old me, so they ain't ready for it, bro.
Okay. You know I'm here, King. You already know, man. And you know it's a lot of love. Love you, big bro. And I thank you for closing out the show, man, with some good, powerful words, my G.
Hey, man. Appreciate you, man. Anytime you allow me to step on the stage, man, and share your looking and listening audience, man, I appreciate it, man. I love you, brother. You already know.
You already, man. Stay up, man. Peace.
Hey, check it. Let me say one thing before I get up out of here, though. Look, check it. I just signed my distribution with TikTok, right? So my next record coming out is going to be distributed by TikTok. Yeah, that's right. The platform. Yeah, man. I just signed my business, aligned my business with TikTok. Listen, man, I done been going through the wrangle with TikTok, man. They shadow banned me. They permanently banned my page. Then they gave it back. Then they accepted my business proposal with them. And now they're asking me to distribute my next record with them. So listen, my next record is coming out on TikTok via Sound On. So I'll let you know exactly when the record going to be dropping, what's the title of the record. I'm going to give everything exclusively to you, my brother.
And look, man, we got to do a song together, too, just like my boy R.J. Payne. I ain't really get on him on it, but he's doing this thing, too. We got to do a song, man. Send me a
Let's
track
go.
Song, yes, man, for real.
Okay, okay. On everything, bro. On everything. Now that I'm back at it like a crack at it, bro, you already know I'm about to send you something.
All right, my G. Love you, man. Stay safe, man. Stay up.
I love you, too, bro.
Peace.
Those.
That's my guy, man. Shout out to motherfucking Casino Roulette, man. My boy RJ Payne. My nigga, hold on. Let me share this before I'm about to get out of here. Everybody hit the likes at least before you leave. And thank you to only three people who actually show some love to the platform today. Thank you, Queen Ms. Drew, Laugh Guys and Gossip, and my nigga Rakim Lagarde. Thank you for showing some love to the platform. Oh, I took it off. But shout out to my nigga, shout out to my boy RJ Payne. My nigga doing his fucking thing. You hear me? RJ Payne is doing his thing. He's doing real good. His new mixtape shit is out. I'm gonna try to get an interview. I interviewed him quite a few times, man. Like, I'm his day one fan, nigga. You know, so shout out to RJ Payne. He's doing a new song with Method Man right now. Ice-T just did his New Jack City mixtape series just now. Shit is fire. Salute to my boy RJ Payne doing his fucking thing. So, you know, and I'm going to try to get on a song with him too. But, you know, like me, I fall back. Like, my nigga, he's heating up. Like, niggas, I'm one of them niggas that's not just jumping because, like, you know, now your tide is high. Nah, nigga, I've been fucking with you from the beginning. I always have faith in that nigga, and he's doing it big. So salute to RJ Payne. Keep going, my nigga. Yeah, absolutely, man. I could call RJ Payne right now if I want. But salute to my dude, man. Salute to him, man. And God bless, man. And my dude, Casino Roulette as well. All right. I'm closing out, but this is my favorite verse. Hold on. A flame of gas, aiming at you fucking maniacs. Put my name in rap with Parker. Game is that like you hustle backwards. I smoke backwards and Dutchies. You can't touch me. Try to rush me. Slugs go touchy-touchy. You bleeding lovely. Put your spirit above me or beneath me. Your whole life you live sneaky. Now you rest eternally sleepy. You burn when you creep me. Rest where the worms in the weak be. My nine flies and baptized rap guys with the Holy Ghost. I put holes in most. You hold your toe shaky. Slip and try to break me. Look what you made me do. Brain blue. My team in the marine blue. Six coupe. Skeet it out. Weed it out. Cleaning out the blocks of distances, giving long kisses, bitch. Rest in peace, Big. Love you, Tupac. Something is really in my eye and it's killing me. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That's my numbers, 316, 316 people. Thank y'all. I'm going to go chill and fucking wash my eye out. I love y'all. Peace. Y'all have a good fucking night, safe weekend, all that. Peace, bitches. Getting out of here. Ooh, my fucking, Ooh, my eyes is burning, man.